on a Wednesday afternoon. Time for Sports Lit 101 as Bruce Pratt joins us. And Bruce, a very interesting book this time around. I think like you, when I got my copy of The Mighty Oak by Jeff W. Benz, I was curious. And then, you know, reading some of the information on the flap, I thought, oh, okay, I think I know what we're going to get here. Story of a tough guy, a hockey enforcer, trying to hang on in the game. I might have read that. I've probably seen it before. And then this book just completely upended all my expectations.
Yeah, it's really different. I was thinking about how we've talked about The Good Body by Bill Gaston, which I still think is the archetypal book about the hockey player who needs to go home to discover himself and who's been a minor leaguer most of his life. And on the enforcer side, that was sort of a more modern version of a book called The Last Season by Roy McGregor, which is one of Canada's most read books on hockey. And his protagonist, Felix Badarinsky, we had Tyler Hellard on, who wrote Searching for Terry Punchout, which, you know, addressed some of these same things. And Lynn Cody, a very well-decorated Canadian writer, wrote a book called The Antagonist, whose main character, Gordon Rankin, was a guy with some issues similar to the hero or the protagonist of The Mighty Oak, Tim O'Connor. This book is different for a couple of reasons, I think, from those books, in a way that not saying it surpasses those books and by any stretch, but puts it up there with them. And that's that this is a story of a hockey kid from Boston who's not the hockey kid from Boston we know.
Right.
You know, he plays for Providence College. Obviously, Providence College is a very, very good institution. They've had a up and down hockey team. They've been awful good of late. And he's not a kid who comes out of the wilds of Canada, who has to fight for everything in his life. He comes from a lower middle class background, from a family that I think we would describe it best as different. and he has managed to spiral downward in hockey. And I wanted to just take a moment to explain to people that most people know that the NHL is the premier league in the world. And then in the North America, the AAA is the American Hockey League. The AA is the East Coast Hockey League, which is all over Canada and the West. The East Coast is sort of a misnomer. But there are a number of hockey leagues, the Southern Professional Hockey League. There are hockey leagues in Texas, out on the West Coast, in the Northern Midwest, and in parts of Canada that are like A-ball or developmental leagues. But they're not generally for people on the way up. Now, some people have slipped all the way down there. We know Scotty Darling did when he was having some of the kinds of issues that Tim O'Connor in the book is having. But he had worked himself back up to get his name on the Stanley Cup. But we have a guy who commits really a horrendous act in a hockey fight and gets suspended for 25 games right before he flies home for his mother's funeral. And that in itself might be, a setup for us for a bad novel where he runs into his old girlfriend and she straightens him out and he, turns out to be a perfect guy. Instead, we see all of the demons that have haunted Tim O'Connor, the Mighty Oak. And then we run into three people who in many ways change his life. And I'm not going to spoil any of this because I thought this was so well thought out with the characters. But he makes another big mistake when he's home in Boston, and this one is probably going to cost him a lot. And he, as a result, runs into two people who will help him find a way to redeem himself. And we see all the sordid underside of lower middle class existence in Boston. We see the drugs. We see the other kinds of criminal behaviors that go on for people who live on the margins. And here's a guy who had a chance to make it all the way to the big time. And we never find out exactly why he didn't, which is, I think, the best thing that Benz does in the book. There's no one moment where his career explodes. It's just a slow downward drift. We also understand, I think, from Ben's book, from this book, The Mighty Oak, better than we understand from other books, perhaps, the incredible amount of legal drugs and prescribed drugs that veteran enforcers have to take just to move. And I thought of you last night, Rich, because I'm finally getting around to reading Gods of Wood and Stone. And uh-huh. and you see in Joe Grudek that same kind of thing. Grudek's not a bad guy for the most part. But we see how at some point you rely on the Adderall and you rely on the OxyContin. You rely on these things to exist. And when you do, your worldview is completely shot. You're not in the same world as everyone else. And I think the way that, that we're taken into Tim O'Connor's world is really remarkable.
And, you know, anytime we talk about sports fiction, the sports has got to be good because that's going to be one of the ways we judge it. And you know hockey much better than I do. But I thought it painted such an accurate world of that level of hockey. And even the collegiate hockey, some references in there to the University of Maine as well. But Jeff really got that part of it right.
Yes, and I thought he also, when the youth hockey, when he talked about the youth hockey stuff, I thought he just nailed that. There's a tremendous debate going on in Canada right now among all parts of Canadian society about the value of youth sports and how youth sports are limited. Participation is limited by wealth. And you know, we've known that here for a long time, but we have schools. So you can be a poor kid and go to a school that has a team and play on that team, and you'll get equipment and the like. Whereas in Canada, it's all outside the schools. And I thought that Ben did a great job talking about how you know the memories we have of high school and high school players are often the images that the high school players adopt and where it leads them wrong. Again, Gods of Wood and Stone, the same thing with Joe Grudek, that, you know, I don't want to be remembered only as the guy who won this game or won that game or whatever. I want to be remembered for something else. And Tim O'Connor wants to be remembered for something else, but all he's really remembered for back at home is being a hockey player.
And the other thing that I think Jeff Benz gets right, we're talking about his new book, The Mighty Oak, is the fact that everybody in this is a shaded character. There are no good guys. There are no bad guys. And even those people you think might be wearing a hat of a particular color. And again, without giving too much away, but the man who has stepped into Tim O'Connor's old life and is essentially serving as the father to his daughter, you know, he's not the one-dimensional character that easily could have been.
Right. And that's a really good point, Rich. He was one of my favorite characters because the whole idea of community and, you know, being remembered around, you know, for an age in which you played with each other and you were games, all these other things. And the reality of the way that those things get severed over time or broken up over time is really well done. And I thought all the characters that he drew were limbed perfectly in that nobody was a hero. Nobody was wholly awful, but a lot of times people were more awful than you thought they were going to be.
Yeah. But you know, we know so many of these people, and maybe it's the fact that it does take place in New England, but any hockey fan, any sports fan, any New Englander will recognize a lot of these characters.
Oh, absolutely. And I was thinking that, to me, this is the best Boston sports book I've ever read because this doesn't rely on any kind of mystique of the pro teams in Boston, right?
Right.
There's no sort of, you know, his dream was to play for the Bruins. That you know, he didn't put that in there. And I think because of that, it shows Boston as the city really is, not the way it's perceived by people from the outside whose only real relation to it are the sports teams. You know, I mean, I've relatives who live in Boston. I've spent a lot of time in Boston. When I first think of Boston, I think of where they live. I don't think of the Garden or Fenway Park and places I've been, right? Or the like, but I thought it was really good because it's a real sports city. And this is the underside of the sports city. This is where it starts. And I thought he did a fabulous job with that for a guy who teaches in Manhattan.
The book is called The Mighty Oak by Jeff W. Benz. We absolutely loved it. And next week, how perfectly fitting that on St. Patrick's Day, Jeff will talk with us about Tim O'Connor.
I thought that, yeah, when I saw that he could do St. Patrick's Day, I literally smiled as much as I smiled. I thought, this is perfect.
Yeah, that's coming up next weekend. What else is ahead in the coming weeks on Sports Lit?
After that, on the following weekend, we'll have Courtney Zito, who wrote the book on East Asians in hockey, Changing on the Fly. And it would be really interesting because I think a lot of what she will talk about, and her book is a nonfiction book, is a lot of what really bubbles up in the Mighty Oak, bubbles up in some of the other hockey fiction that we've talked about in the past. So I'm very much looking forward to speaking with her. She's obviously a very bright person. I think she'll be a great guest.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. Bruce Pratt, Sports Lit 101, every Wednesday at 4:30 here on Downtown.